Advantage. My scripture reading is in Isaiah. Let's go to Isaiah 58. Starting with the first verse. Cry loudly, do not hold back. Raise your voice like a trumpet and declare to my people their transgressions and to the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me day by day and delight to know my ways, as a nation that has done righteousness and has not forsaken the ordinance of their God. They ask me for just decisions. They delight in the nearness of God. Why have we fasted and you do not see? Why have we humbled ourselves and you do not notice? Behold, on the day of your fast, you find your desire and drive hard all your workers. Behold, you fast for contention and strife and to strike with a wicked fist. You do not fast like you do today to make your voice heard on high. It is a fast like this which I choose, and a day for a man to humble himself. It is for bowing one's head like a reed and for spreading out sackcloth and ashes as a bed. Will you call this a fast, even an acceptable day to the Lord? Is this not the fast which I choose, to loosen the bonds of wickedness, to undo the hands of the yoke, and to let the oppressed go free and break every yoke? It is not to divide your bread with the hungry. Is it not to divide your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless, poor into your house, into the house? When you see the naked, to convert him, and not to hide yourself from your own flesh? Then your light will break out like the dawn, and your recovery will speedily spring forth, and your righteousness will go before you. The glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry, and he will say, "Here I am." If you remove the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and speaking wickedness, and if you give yourself to the hungry and satisfy the desire of the afflicted, then your light will rise in darkness and your gloom will become like midday. And the Lord will continually guide you and satisfy your desire in scorched places and give strength to your bones. And you will be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. Those from among you will rebuild the ancient ruins. You will raise up the age-old foundations, and you will be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the streets in which to dwell. If because of the Sabbath you turn your foot from doing your own pleasure on my holy day and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and honor it, desisting from your own ways, from seeking your own pleasure and speaking your own word, then you will take delight in the Lord. And I will make you ride on the heights of the earth, and I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob, your father. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Bow with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for these words of old. And Heavenly Father, we know that they are words of wisdom and words of comfort, words of guidance. And Heavenly Father, we thank you because you love us enough to let us know the things that you would have us to do, the places you would have us to go. And Lord, we thank you for all of these words of instruction. We ask, Lord, that you will bless these words and thoughts that we express and help them to help each of us as you would. And in all these things, we give you praise and honor. And in the name of your loving Son, Yeshua, we ask, and amen. My text is in Genesis 28. And 18. Let's go to Genesis 28 and 18. So Jacob rose early in the morning and took the stone that he had put under his head. I gave you the wrong scripture, excuse me. Genesis 26, 18. Then Isaac dug again the wells of water which had been dug in the days of his father Abraham. For the Philistines had stopped them up after the death of Abraham, and he gave them the same names which his father had given them. I know this is an interesting grouping of scriptures, but there is wisdom. There is things to remember about the here and now from the days of old. Our text makes it clear that just as the wells can be open and enjoy, they also can be stopped and cease to refresh and sustain. Abraham was called of God. He heard the voice of God calling him from his homeland and asking him to take a long journey, very long for that day and time, to a place that most likely he had never been before, Canaan, the promised land. And so Abraham heard the voice of God, and he answered the voice of God, and he did as God asked him to do. He left his home. He went toward the promised land. And when he was there, and after some time of living, he dug wells. He dug wells that was to be for the sustaining of his people. Without water, without that refreshment, the people would not last. They would not endure. But we see that after a time, Abraham died. Even though a powerful, important man of the Bible and of all time, used of God, his life came to an end. He died, and we find that very shortly after that, the dominant people of the land chose to try to take advantage of Abraham's descendants, the people of Abraham's family. And they, in essence, destroyed the wells, stopped the water flowing, the nourishment, the sustaining power of that natural element. And it fell to Isaac, Abraham's son Isaac. It fell to him what to do, how to follow. And we find that in the writing of the Word of God, that Isaac found it very hard to follow in the footsteps of such a powerful man that was used of God so mightily as his father Abraham was. So we don't find that the works of Isaac was as notable as that of Abraham. But we do find that the writings of the Word of God lets us know that Isaac recognized that it was important that these wells be unstopped. that the sustaining power that they held went forth to nourish the people. So Isaac redug the wells, opened the wells, and the waters flowed for refreshment and for sustenance of the people, the descendants of Abraham, and of the people that were with Isaac. Today, my message to you is entitled Natural and Spiritual Wells. And you know, it comes a point to every generation that sometimes you have to recognize what you had before. And even though maybe at the very present, the sustaining and nourishment in all areas of life that had been brought before, they sometimes stop. They sometimes stop flowing. And so each generation must recognize that these spiritual wells must be reopened. These values that had been had and taught must be taught again. They must be brought up again. They must be remembered. They must be encouraged to the people of the day. Each generation must find and enjoy the wells of salvation, the source of spiritual vitality, and each generation is going to be faced with those that hinder the working of God, the values that we all have been taught and enjoy and need to pass on to the ones who come after us. These must continue. And we must recognize that there are enemies of God among our community, among the world. And these enemies of God would like nothing better than for what you have to no longer be there. They are enemies of God. They are enemies of your church. And they would like nothing better than to see it fail. To see the wells of salvation stopped up. The Philistines was those enemies at that particular point in time, the dominant people of the land around which Abraham lived and which Isaac, his son, lived and which the wells were dug. But we see that after Abraham died, enemies came in to try to stop the work of God, to try to stop the continuance of God working through and with His people. His people at that time was Abraham. And those that became after him, came after him, the people of the Israel. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, on down through all the notables, David, Samson, the prophets, on up to Egypt. Each generation has to face that there is a source of spiritual vitality that comes from our Creator God. And that these old wells that has been dug before has to be opened up again. Natural enemies of God hinder. Our human tendencies, our self, sometimes gets in the way of these natural wells bringing forth the nourishment for the natural and for the spiritual. Sometimes human tendencies get in the way. Sometimes we get into forgetful modes, forgetful of being respectful to God and to being respectful to His house of worship. We forget the exactness of God. We forget the perfectionist that He is, that He doesn't do anything haphazard. He's very specific about each and everything that's done concerning Him. And He wants us to honor Him, honor His place in which He dwells, His house of worship. We should never forget that. The wells of salvation should always go forth and should go forth with that wisdom of God. Not only is there natural enemies of God, substitutes for the Almighty Creator God, but there's the natural tendency of human beings to falter, to come short, to forget, to ignore. And so we need to be aware of those tendencies of human beings, which would be detrimental to everyone, not only to yourself personally, but the continuance of all of the blessed things of God. And of course, there's also the evil one. Just as we have our almighty, loving Creator God, we also have one out there that wants to fight against God and against His way and against His people. The evil one, Satan himself. And we need to recognize that he is, as the Scripture says, a roaring lion going about the earth seeking whom he can devour. Satan would like nothing better than to destroy the work of God. And he's doing all he can to see that that is done. So each generation must know that there are those out there, those tendencies out there, the ones out there that would love to interfere with the work of God. Ultimately, it is a personal thing. If there ever is anything personal, it's whether or not your heart is being pulled by God Almighty and whether you feel His touch in your life and whether or not you know that you are His child and that He does want to be and continue to be your loving Father in heaven. We all have to personally recognize that He is there and He does want us in His family. We must redig the wells of salvation, as the Bible speaks. We have to have the continuance, the sustenance that we get from the source of all things, and that's the loving Father God. Let's look at Isaiah 12 and 3. Let's see what Isaiah 12 and 3. Therefore, you will joyously draw water from the springs of salvation. That's what we're speaking of. God the Father has all that you need. He has the answer to all your questions. He has the solution to all of the problems of your life and anyone else. But we have to recognize that He is there for us, and that He wants us to be His children. He wants us to abide in His laws and in His ways, and go in the path in which He leads us. And His Word makes clear that's what He wants of us. We must react to Him. We must redig the wells of salvation, not only for natural sustenance, but primarily for spiritual sustenance. Let's see what Psalms 116 and 13 tells us. Psalms 116 and 13. I shall lift up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. You know when the Lord is calling you. You know when you feel that His voice is seeking a response from you. You know when it is He that is working behind the scenes on each little thing in your life. You recognize that working. And that working is from the Lord. It's from our Father God. And we need to know how important it is that we continue the conversation, that we call upon the name of the Lord in times of need, in times of plenty, just to praise and honor the Father God for all that He is and all that He does. It's more than just an experience. God has a master plan, and it's for all of humankind. He intended it for everyone. He intended for His nation Israel, that He called out by name, and intended that they be a kingdom of priests to the world, to let the world know of Him and of His family and of His gifts of salvation, gifts of eternal life, gifts of the Holy Spirit to lead and guide and help in all your life. God's master plan. He brought us into this world to recognize Him, to obey Him, to serve Him. He wants us to be in His family. But ultimately, the choice is ours. Ultimately, we can say no if that's our choice. Very interesting that He made us in the image of Himself. He made us to love Him, hear Him, obey Him. But yet, ultimately, He gave us a choice of doing it or not doing it, listening or not, following Him or not. Our Father God has a program not only a master plan for all of the human race, but he has a program for all of the human race. He has a yearly program. And it's that that is involved in what you're doing today. Sanctifying, setting aside the holy Sabbath to come and worship Him, remember Him, praise Him. And also that master plan, that yearly program, involves the festival days. What else purpose would it be that He wants us throughout the whole year, starting in the springtime with a Passover, unleavened bread, then up to the point in time that we are now, Pentecost, on up into the fall, Day of Trumpets, the other fall festival days? Obviously, He wants continuous communication, recognition of Him and what He wants for us. He wants us to remember Him. He wants us to constantly call on His name. Ask for His help when we need it. If we're forgetting to do that, we're doing ourselves harm. If we don't remember Him in everything and in every way, we're doing ourselves harm. We're missing many things, including blessings. God wants to bless us. And He will bless us. His Word lets you know how much He will bless you. He will bless you if you respond to Him as the Word says. He will bless you to overflowing. Virtually to the point that there's so many blessings you can't receive them all. If you respond to Him like that. It's more than just a ticket to heaven. Some people think that's it. That's the bottom line. If I do what I'm told, a good boy or girl, lady, man, I'm going to go to heaven. I'm going to have a ticket to heaven. It is much more than that. God wants us to remember Him every moment of our life and call to Him. Be respectful to Him. Honor Him. It is, as we redig some of these wells of the past, it is the well of the Word of God. Let's go to Joshua 1 and 8. Joshua 1 and 8. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Do you see? Do you believe it? God says it. He means it. You shall meditate on it day and night, that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous. Doesn't say the preacher is going to do it for you. Doesn't say your best friend, the one you put a lot of confidence in, it doesn't say they have a lot to do with it. And they might encourage you and help you, sure. But ultimately, it's personal. Ultimately, it's up to you. You can make your way blessing and prosperous and successful. So we need to dig the well of private prayer. And we need to dig the wells of fellowship with other saints, with other brothers and sisters. The Word says, encourage each other, love your brothers. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but much more do so as the day approaches. What day? The last day. What day? The day of the Lord. The great and terrible day of the Lord. Anytime it says the day, and emphasis is put on that great day, it's talking about the last natural one. The day of the Lord. The day in which the Lord is coming. Coming for you. The day in which you hope you're going to be rising to meet Him in the air. And we all want to be one of that group. The Bible says it's going to be few that find the way, that stay in the way, that dig and redig and stay in the wells of salvation. There's also the well of happy and joyful witnesses. Let's see what Psalms 126 and verse 5 and 6. Psalms 126. Let's see what that says. Those who sow in tears shall reap with joyful shouting. He who goes to and fro weeping, carrying his bag of seed, shall indeed again, with a shout of joy, bringing his sheaves with him. What's this talking about? I think it's talking about the seed that you sow as being a worker of God and bearing fruit from the work that God gives you to do. What is the result of redigging these wells? Of recognizing that sometimes the sustaining power of natural and spiritual wells becomes stopped, sometimes intentionally, sometimes perhaps by things we do, sometimes perhaps by enemies of God. But the result is that refreshment and sustaining power of God results. Let's go to Isaiah 58, and that was part of my scripture reading to you today, was Isaiah 58. Let's go to verse 11. And the Lord will continually guide you and satisfy your desire in scorched places and give strength to your bones, and you will be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. Those from among you will rebuild the ancient ruins. You will raise up the age-old foundations, and you will be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the streets in which to dwell. As you recognize that these wells of salvation needs to be rebuilt, restored, open and available to sustain and to nourish. And we need to be part of that rebuilding in helping others. In conclusion, when we redig these wells of salvation as Isaac did following Abraham, we see these wells will hold for us spiritual guidance. They will give spiritual satisfaction, spiritual refreshment, and ultimately, peace. And we're talking about that peace that only God can give. And we're talking about purpose. Purpose in life. Ultimately, everybody is seeking that. I want to have purpose. I want God to give me a reason for living. A reason for continuance. A reason for helping others enjoy that refreshment and that sustenance that only God can give. I'd like for you to stand, if you would, and let's read our blessing of God to us. And our blessing to each other. Let's read together. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance on you and give you peace. Amen. That's wonderful. Let's bow our